This is the Home Tech Podcast Show, number 48, recorded for October 20th, 2011. I am your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios. Here in a chilly, I think winter has arrived, a chilly Bellevue, Nebraska. I'm not going to say it's fall, I'm sure. Some warm weather is coming back, but a chill has come across the Midwest, and we are buckling down for what I think is going to be a nasty winter. We do record this show each week and post it to the AverageGuy.tv with world-class show notes done by none other than our famous Andrew Morris. Andrew, thanks for doing those show notes each week, by the way. Very, very good. You can contact the show at podcast@theaverageguy.tv or track me down on Twitter at Jay Collison. My Twitter's been moving along nicely lately, and so we like that. And you can also find us on Facebook by searching The Average Guy Podcast. We got a few more posts out there. Really want you to join us out on Facebook. That would be a great place to exchange information, ask questions. We got some smart guys out there. If you just want to interact with the show or post a question about the show, jump out there on Facebook and get that done. We've also set up all the links that you could ever need to automatically download this podcast. We recently changed over from Podomatic to iX web hosting for the feeds. Actually, I use a feed burner feed for that. You can download it to your iPhone, iPod, or iPad, as well as any Android phone. I'm having an issue saying words tonight. Android phone or tablet device. Just look in the iTunes or the RSS buttons. There we go. Over at the AverageGuy.tv. I do want to say we've been making an effort maybe to post some comments about the show over on iTunes, but you have to be careful about that because we do have two feeds for this podcast. So I'm gonna mention it, and then I'm gonna say if you were thinking of doing that, hold off. And in a couple of weeks, we'll get one removed, and you can go out there and post your comments. So thought we'd like it. All right, let's introduce the guest on the show tonight. First off, and the guy I go to when I need someone to talk to at 2 in the morning because it's not 2 in the morning for him, that's Andrew Morris. Andrew, how are you doing?
Good, Jim. Good. Very good.
2 in the morning? Is that real? Can I talk? Yeah, that's like a late evening for you, right?
I think it's about like 3 o'clock in my afternoons, 2 o'clock in the morning or thereabouts.
I like it. So that works real well when I'm up late and it's your afternoon. We can get some stuff done that way. It works out real well. Yeah.
I'm not allowed to stay up that late anymore.
Oh, that's good. And nobody really should. I had a big conference yesterday. I stayed up till 12:30 last night. And yeah, the mic is covering my face, isn't it? And so I'll have to fix that. Oh, here we go. The chat, Mike Howard says the mic is covering my face. I have to get over it. Well, Andrew, welcome to the show. Also tonight, we have Student Extraordinaire and the guy behind BIOS-Mods and All Things Smart. His name's Christian Johnson. Christian, how are you?
I'm all right, guys. Just came back from a enlightening college fair.
Really? How'd that go?
It was enlightening because now I know which colleges I don't want to go to.
Oh, so you've made the call already.
Well, it was a Ivy college fair. They had MIT, Princeton, Brown, Yale, and Dartmouth there.
Holy moly.
Yeah, it was kind of like all the Ivies in one big kahuna.
Yeah, how does that work? I mean, was there enough cardigan to go around or what?
Yeah. It was actually, the presentation was nicely done. I definitely know I'm not going to Dartmouth, Brown, or Yale. Goodbye. I'm sorry.
All right. Wow. Yale's out.
Yale's
just
out.
Just like that.
All right.
Why? Isn't Yale like one of the premium schools in the States?
It is, but it's a premium research university, and one of the big things is that there's, and this is the point I'm about to get with, both MIT and Princeton, which is what I was primarily looking at this college fair. I wanted to find out more about their computer science programs, and neither of them have a information technology degree, so that's kind of bad. So I know for a fact Princeton really only does the computer science from a programming and mathematical applied theory standpoint, so it's not really practical for what I'm looking to do. MIT has the computer science, and I still have to do some research as to whether there's a concentration in information technology or not, because there probably is, but there's no degree for it. Unlike some of the other colleges I'm looking at, you can have a double master's in both information technology and computer science, which is what I'd much rather prefer. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool.
You make us all look pretty stupid. I just wanted to.
I feel dumb.
Just kidding.
I feel so dumb.
Christian, it's going to be.
I'm leaving my microphone.
It's going to be fun to watch you go through college. That's going to be great. I mean, you are going to be able to rock the house with that. And, you know, I guess until I started really looking at schools for recruits, you know, we try and pull a lot of interns out of University of Nebraska at Omaha. We have what's called the Peter Kiewit Institute, and they have a real emphasis on technology. And it's actually, we get a lot of international students because it's one of the premier IT schools here in the Midwest, and they're really doing some cool stuff. But I didn't really get, I'll be honest, I didn't get the whole, since I went to a liberal arts school, I didn't get the whole MIS, CS. I didn't get those pieces until I really started looking at the school. And one of my kids went to UNO for CS. And wanted to do more practicum and less, you know, less theory, less computer science theory. So that got me kind of thinking about it. So it's good luck to you as you start kind of weeding all through all that stuff. You got some big decisions, and you're going to get a chance to go to a big time school. And so that's very cool. It'll be great to kind of watch you go through that. Of course, with us. Anyways, I'm glad that you took some time tonight. I know a very busy day for you, but great for you to come out, Rich. O'Neill is also joining us. Rich is my friend over at Rich's Random Podcast Generator that we do on the weekends, every Saturday, sometimes Sundays. And Rich, how are you doing this evening?
Very good, Jim. Very good. I'd like to announce a world debut of a new word.
There's a new word. Wait a minute. Hold on. So what you're telling me is that in our language, you just can make up new words. Is that right? You just make them up?
You can. And you can get them into the dictionary, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do this, Rich. Hold on. Before you do the worldwide announcement, let's tease folks a little bit. Let's tease them. Let's not quite give it all away at once.
Okay.
We've got an announcement, worldwide launch of a brand new word. We're going to hold it. But first, we know Christian's got to get some stuff in and then ditch off the podcast. So I'm going to bring in Christian.
I wouldn't use ditch. I would use like.
Oh, sorry. He's got to
conveniently exit.
He's got to actually go do some like real schoolwork or something. So we're going to let him do that. But so hold on for a second. Let's get through Christian's corner and then we'll come back and do the launch. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Awesome.
Let's do it.
All right, Christian, knock it out.
All right, so I have my abbreviated version of Christian's Corner, so you guys are going to get a doubleheader with Deal of the Week and Speed Tips next week. But I wanted to go back to a couple weeks ago when you asked if I ever had a resolution for the security system that we were designing for that one firm, and we indeed do have a plan of action proposal. And it's pretty neat, actually. It took a lot of research to kind of find what I was looking for that had a lot of stuff pre-built, so you didn't have to do a lot of messing around. And what I came up with is it's made by Axis Security Systems, and it's their model M114E. And what it is it's actually a IP network HD camera that is rated for outdoor usage. Each camera gets its own IP address, CMOS imaging sensor, progressive scan, and it's got, I believe it's 720p resolution, good for day and night. So you get four or five of these, and then they all get powered with one cable, which is your Ethernet. It utilizes the PoE or power over Ethernet on the gigabit Ethernet cord. So you're actually getting your power and your data connection through your Ethernet cord. So we plan on wiring the four cameras with Cat6 Ethernet that'll go to a Netgear ProSafe gigabit Ethernet switch that has each port is PoE capable. And then that switch will be tied into a actual remote computer system there that's going to be hooked up directly to the Internet. One of the really cool things that comes built in with these cameras is that this software that's included automatically gets all of your cameras on one feed so that it'll automatically stream a video stream over port 80, and it'll also stream a frame by frame or like a JPEG frame shot every second or so over, I don't remember what port number it is. So there's two different ways of looking at it. So this is really great because one of the requirements was that they wanted to be able to remote monitor the location from the fire department and the police station. So this will enable them or anyone who has access to just tap right into the access feed, that's available on the hardware at the station on site, and it'll just go right over the internet. So weren't meant, to be honest, there weren't many cameras that had the software already incorporated to do that. There weren't many that came in the price range of and this sounds expensive, but $650 per surveillance camera is a pretty good deal for a lot of the high-end features that it provides. So especially for higher-end solutions, this was definitely a nice surprise to have something that has both power and data in one cable and is accessible remotely with software that's already built in. So that was pretty neat.
Christian, how are you going to what's the direction you're pointing these cameras? Is it on one pole and each goes out a direction, you know, north, south, east, west?
Yeah, it's,
how are you doing that?
It's a pavilion building, so there's one camera mounted on each corner of the building looking out to the entire campus or site or the entire.
Right. So you can they see point the out, entire, they point yeah. out from the building.
Right.
Okay. So there are some blind spots then, I would assume, if it's certainly the range of that thing can't, it, you know, it's going to, there's going to be some blind spots as you go corner to corner, right?
Right. Very few.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the pavilion is actually centered in a location where you can pretty much look and see most of everything.
Very cool.
Probably the only thing it's not going to pick up is the distant foreground behind the field itself. But there are actually tree cameras already in there. So doing their thing. So.
And that switch was $250?
Yeah, that switch was $250. You could probably find it cheaper, but I wanted to get something that had all 8 ports being PoE active in case they wanted to add cameras or something like that.
Now describe PoE to me. I don't understand that as much.
PoE is just the power over Ethernet technology, which means it's just the switch is able to it has the electrical wiring as well as the data wiring in the same cable, and it's a special it's a special rating because you need the port itself has to be capable of PoE, so this switch is capable of it.
Very cool. What when's the install? Or do they have to approve this first?
I sent this 3-page proposal that you're looking at to the board, and it is getting approved, but I'm not sure when the financial commitment. I know there's they already have the commitment, but I'm not sure when they're setting the purchase date, because obviously I'm going to be the one who has to install it. So
right, yeah, Christmas break, right? It's freezing cold out there.
Yeah.
Well, you said you were going to have there's somebody else is going to install those cameras for you, right? You're going to have somebody else installing. Or do you have to install them?
I'll have someone else do the. I'll have the construction manager do the mounting and the running the cable, and then I'll do the gear and the remote setup.
So, how are you solving the internet problem out to the building then?
Right now, there's like kind of a 50-50 toss-up. There's talk that the town there is going to be providing wireless internet throughout that entire park system. Which was part of the initial issue because there wasn't any internet connectivity, but we're waiting to hear from the Grand Island Board whether or not they're going to, in fact, have wireless in the parks. If they do, great. If not, we're gonna actually run the Netgear RangeMax repeaters from a maintenance shaft over to the pavilion because there's a library about a total of 300 to 400 feet away from where the field is that does have a cable internet connection. So it'll be relaying it over to the pavilion.
Gary didn't sound too confident in that solution.
And to be honest, I mean, any outdoor wireless repeater is sketchy, but yeah. I think it's gotten significantly better from even trying to do it 2 years ago. It would have been pretty hard. But the new wireless and hardware does have a bit better repeater capability than what the G stuff did. So,
All right. Well, cool. Well, keep us up to date on that. That's kind of an interesting project. You know, it is a kind of a good mix of a tech, kind of some tech. You got some outdoor stuff. You got some IP cameras. You're going to need some storage for that. You've got the challenge of the actually internet connection out to the pavilion itself so that you can do this. And then you're working with the city government, right? I mean, to try and pull this all together, or is this a private Is the park, is this pavilion owned by a private company?
Yeah.
City government?
This is well, the internet connection would be relaying off is owned by the town, but okay. The actual facility where the security monitoring is being done is a nonprofit organization.
Oh, okay, it's a nonprofit, which is even harder sometimes to get to get stuff through for that. That's always a challenge. Well, good luck on that. Keep us posted on that as you move forward. Things over at BIOS Mods still chugging along for you?
They're hopping, man.
Really? What's charging it, that up?
It's just heat. The forums are just getting huge. There's about 3,000 people on there a day. Just going all crazy with their motherboards. I can't even keep up with all the discussion, especially now that I'm back in another semester. But there's just people from all walks of life getting their hands into their BIOS. And I'd say on average we're getting about like 10 new solid cases. And what do I mean by solid case? I don't just mean a new thread. I mean like a new scenario that we haven't really – like a new motherboard or something new that we haven't covered yet. So there's just all sorts of discussion, and people are really just starting to chip in to help out one another. So it is taking kind of some of the brute force work of it all, of trying to help every single person. A lot of people are starting to just jump in and kind of like Wikipedia. So
that's good.
It's very interesting to see how it's playing out.
Yeah, good for you. That's that'll be a college fund site for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. The I forgot what I was going to say. All right. Well, very cool. Anything else from Christian's Corner?
The best of the rest was that we were kind of laughing because our school next year is going purely digital, which means there's going to be no more New York State loan textbooks, and that every student is going to be having an iPad. And all the textbooks are going to be on the iPad, and every student's required to have one.
In the state?
In our school.
In your school, okay.
Yeah. So there's going to be no more hard copy textbooks. It's kind of unclear whether it's just going to be part of the tuition now or whether it's part of a pre-existing fee that we're already paying for New York State textbooks. But this year was the first year I've had more than half of my textbooks available digitally. Freshman and sophomore year, I had a lot of like hardback heavy textbooks that were loans that I was carrying around every day. That was really a pain. But one textbook in particular, our Enduring Vision, has a digital version, and it's for AP US History. And I was laughing today because I found the menu in Adobe that lets you if it's a digital text PDF, it actually will read the text in the PDF. So it's like a talking textbook.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
It's
like an Audible book at that point, right? You could just plug it in and listen to it when you go to sleep and see if you can learn. Right?
Yeah, so if you have Adobe Reader 9 or Adobe Reader X, it's right on the view menu. And I didn't actually know that it had text-to-speech capabilities until I found this today. So that was pretty cool.
Very cool. Yeah, and so you'd have to have an iPad, right? Is what you said in there. You'll have to for next year.
And
you've got one already.
I got my netbook. I don't have an iPad, but apparently they're going to make it worth our while to invest in an iPad. It's very unclear whether we're buying them through the school or whether we're buying them individually. But apparently there is a solid step that everything is digital next year on an iPad for textbooks, at least. So
right. And there's some schools moving in that laptop direction. So this kind of takes it up a notch.
Yeah.
You know, from an iPad. That'd be kind of cool. You know, it's been a long time since I've had to lug books around at school. But if I had an iPad, although, you know, boy, the temptation to screw around with those things in class. You know, speaking of that, so this week I had tons of meetings and my phone actually went dead. When I use the battery, we're going to talk about this a little bit later. I've got a battery that I plug into my phone that extends the life of it. And whenever I do that, it screws with the battery memory. And then my phone just sucks for a week or two from a battery perspective. It just doesn't quite do what I want it to do. It's an Android phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just died and I didn't feel like charging it. So I just threw it on my desk and I went to a meeting without my phone and out my laptop. And you know what happened? I actually listened at the meeting. You know, I sat there and I listened And when I left the meeting, I'd actually heard what people said, and it was like a revelation. It was like, huh, I bet I would get a lot more out of meetings if I just kind of disconnected during them and wasn't so distracted with, because I don't know about you, but I find myself, you know, I've got my phone set. Tell me when an email comes in, right? But I still, you're in a meeting, you get bored, you pull the phone out, you look. Well, and you're like, oh, there's no email. Well, yeah, because it buzzes when there's, you know what I'm saying? But, and then you get distracted with it and you start downloading apps or whatever.
Yeah.
So there is a, I don't know, it was one of those things. I think we are so distracted with technology at times. Today, this afternoon, we had a big, did a big conference at Gallup. We had about 160 Oracle professionals there for a user group meeting and about 35 breakouts. It was a big, big thing that I put together two times a year. And in the afternoon, hey, Gary, in the afternoon, by lunch, my phone was dead. And yeah, he's just always got to make his appearance, doesn't he, Christian?
Yes.
Got to come in. That's good.
Yeah.
So by the afternoon, phone was dead. I didn't bring out my laptop. And, you know, I actually talked to people. So is he? So anyways, it's amazing what happens when the technology goes down. And Christian, I'll be honest with you, and maybe your generation can handle this, but an iPod in the classroom, boy, that's a little, yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it. All right. I get the technology. I get it. But
I think the big thing is that they're saving, everyone's saving a lot of money in the long
run. Oh, no. I totally get it. I totally get that part, right? But the temptation.
Yeah.
The temptation to, you know, you get today, right? And you know, well, Andrew's gone, but Rich, you can chime in here. Today, we do not allow ourselves to be bored for 1 second, right? I mean, if you are sitting somewhere and you're bored, right? You're standing in line trying to pick something up at the hardware store. What do? You don't, nobody's bored anymore. You start playing Angry Birds, right? Or you start, you know, you check your email or you know.
Checking on Foursquare.
Exactly. Yeah, we cannot be bored. And so this afternoon it was nice. I sat down, and this just sounds terrible, but I sat down with a bunch of the board that helps me with this user group meeting. And we just, you know what we did? We just talked. Imagine that. Just like chatted with each other. I took some notes on paper.
Yeah, that's retro.
You wild man.
Isn't that crazy? Notes on paper.
How archaic. What's paper?
I know. It was crazy.
Even now, all my notes are in OneNote. I don't even keep paper copies anymore.
Yeah. No, right on. But it was interesting. It's just how it kind of reminded me how far we've kind of come in a world that's full of distractions. With technology. And it's even worse when I'm in a meeting with my laptop with what I think is supposed to increase my productivity. But you know what it does? It makes me want to check my email because I want to try to get ahead. And then I'm not listening. And that, because I wasn't listening in a meeting, it generates a whole nother set of emails later because, you know how that goes? There's got to be, and Andrew, I know you're in corporateness all the way with me on this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
300 emails a day, and if you respond to them incorrectly, you get another 100 telling you that you got it wrong.
Yeah. And, you know, at Gallup, we're really good with email. I mean, it is a great form of – or it is the only form, really, of communication that we use. I should say only. We use about 90%. And they do it well, and I don't get too much spam. But it's just one of those things, you know. It's like I go to a conference, I go to a tech conference, and I've got my laptop with me, and I'm checking email when I should be freaking listening to who's presenting. And then you get out of, you know, you get done with it, and you're like, oh, what did they just talk about? I can never get that hour back. I could have always answered my email later, but I couldn't get the hour of that guy that I flew all the way to San Francisco to hear, you know, because I can't be bored for 1 second, you know. So I don't know, Christian. I it'll be interesting to see. Maybe your generation will get it or figure it out and be able to do that without being distracted.
I'd be more worried about the support cost of the device.
Yeah,
I've been involved with supporting schools in the past, and I reckon anything electronic that gets given to a student is a nightmare. I mean, it's okay for people like you, Christian, who get what you're doing.
I'm surprised that actually the level of absorption of the technology we use is actually a lot higher than what you'd expect. I mean, everyone gets their homework on online now at our school, and all of our grades are posted online. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. A lot of people are in the habit of daily checking their homework and grades right from the internet. So I think in some senses, it's just they're just kind of getting used to the fact that they have to learn it. But yeah, it's still distracting. I mean, like even this, if it's vibrating during English class, it's like, oh, I can't answer that, but it's vibrating in my pocket.
Yeah, I wonder who it is. I wonder. Yeah. I'm just gonna mm-hmm. sneak. Can I get this? Can I sneak it out? I mean, I don't know if you got cell phone rules where you're not supposed to use those things during school.
Yeah, we're not allowed to have them on.
Yeah, but here's the deal. My kids aren't either, right? And yet we buy them and send them to school because we want to be able to communicate with them. So we're like, keep it in your pocket. Don't use it. That's murder.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Yeah. And then my wife will text my son during the middle of school. You know, and she'll, oh, I forgot to tell him something. So she'll send him a text. And I'm like, he's not supposed to get texts at school. And I get it. I mean, I get all that. But it's Christian, here's what I think. And just think this one over, mull it over, whatever, is I think that we're just so we don't spend enough time thinking things out long ways over a period of time. We're really good at short bursts of answer this email, do this, follow up on this, do that, and we're losing the art of maybe being able to sit down and over a period of time think something all the way through. Maybe something that takes some concentration. You know,
I think we're also starting to lose the ability to communicate. Like, I know in my organization, I act as what I call a BS filter. So, you know, I sit so often between the guys who've got the propellers turning at a million miles an hour and the person who just looks at him going, WTF are you talking about? You know, I've got no idea. You know, you're talking that they're talking numbers, model numbers and parts, and you just look at it and go, huh? You know, the technology's overrunning us at times as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and communication is really changing. In the way I think it's shortening up and it's less. I've talked about this before. I think it's less. And Rich, you and I have had long conversations about this in the past. Is it's getting less. The importance of correctness and exactness and rightness, all those things that spelling, right? I mean, spelling, mm-hmm. punctuation, that's becoming less emphasized.
Yeah.
Mm. If you can't press F7 on a piece of paper to do a spell check.
Yeah. You know, the thing I've always heard is that to break the rules, to create something interesting by breaking the rules, you have to know what the rules are to begin with. So, if people don't know how to construct sentences, you know, spell, pay attention in meetings, I mean, you know, you're starting out. With none of that as your or a weak foundation in that, and you lose a lot in the ability to create, you know, my opinion, but no, I'm not the only one that thinks like that. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's really interesting. People, societies go through evolutions and changes, and we're definitely in one now, and it's so fast. At least it seems like it to us. I mean, I think the young people mm-hmm. think, you know, what's the problem, Dad? You know, but
right. Christian, do you feel like we're in a disruptive technology time? I mean, do you feel that technology is being very disruptive to our culture?
I think it's being transient in the sense that it's helping automate a lot of things. Even like from 2000, you know, 2000, 2001 weren't really that possible for the consumer market. At the same time, I think the more powerful these devices are getting, a lot more people are realizing what happens when they misuse that additional power available. In long term, it's going to be beneficial, I believe, but people are definitely losing the balance of when it's a tool and when it just becomes a way to escape communicating, socialization, and technically people skills. Which people lose when they get sucked away into their white screens and devices. So.
Yeah, it's a way of isolating.
Rich, I know you sense the disruption that technology is causing in our culture. I mean, just at a cultural level, and when we look at language and communication, It really does. This may be one of those times that we, and sorry to get all philosophical on everybody, but I think this is a really good topic in the sense that there really is a major disruption going on in our communications channels and the way we talk to each other. And I don't think, and Christian, I don't know where you're at on this, but I think this, the generation that's coming up now never knew the old. And so they're going to kind of never sense the change that's taking place. But there is, I do feel the significant, and maybe you said the word transient, but this, Rich and I said this too, this temporariness that is in our writing now, right? We don't write for, I've said this to you in our blog, so we don't write these blogs last 2 weeks. So why spend a lot of time making them correct, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. And then that stuff becomes a permanent record forever, so to speak. In the digital, you know, and what will generations think of us, you know, 200 years from now as they look back at the documentation we've created?
They will wonder if we had spell check in our browsers. oh, wait a minute, they did.
Well, unless you're using IE9, right? And then you don't have spell check.
Then you got to pick up a Christian speed tip to get that one working.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah, which actually would be Download Pro. No, yeah, IE Pro. There's a free software package that includes spell check, dictionary, all sorts of really cool features, download manager, and they started that back at IE7. That's an awesome app. If you get in on Internet Explorer 9, it's going to be like kind of having Internet Explorer fused with some Chrome goodness in a non-Chrome way. So that's something interesting to check out if you want that speed tip. But yeah. You kind of pulled that one out of my hat. So.
Nice job. Nice way to segue. If that would have been a commercial, that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Rich, you know, let's segue a little bit. And so, Christian, thanks for Christian's Corner. If you need to bail at some point, we'll just quietly let you depart. Stay around as long as you can. Rich, you know, so we talk about language, we talk about changes, and there's this new thing. Yeah, there's been a change today. The language has just changed today. Yeah. Why don't you talk? Let's go back a little bit in time, though. Let's give the listeners a little bit of context, because for those who listen to Rich's Random Podcast on the weekends off theaverageguy.tv, they're probably familiar with this, but if they've only been listening to the Average Guy, you know, to the Home Tech podcast here, maybe they don't know. So let's go back a little bit, set that thing up a little bit.
Well, about a week ago, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a podcast, one of our friends' podcasts, and I was thinking about his name, and I was thinking about, you know, this is Mike Fauché of BYOB, and I was thinking about, you know, he's got the reputation. You listen to his podcast, you get all fired up, and surf out to Amazon, a Newegg, and you look around for all the parts that were probably mentioned on the podcast, and, you know, you load up the cart, and you're looking at your wallet, you're looking at your wife, seeing if she's looking, and then you hit buy, you know?
Yeah. Because Mike likes to purchase. When Mike buys stuff, right, he doesn't buy one of anything, right? He buys two or three. Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like one night I was talking with him. He and I were talking, and somebody said something. I said something about, well, what about that microphone there? He says, oh, yeah, I got that. Yeah, I don't use that, though. And it's like a brand new mic, you know? It's like a current, you know, microphone that you might want to use. And then you toss off something else like, well, I got another brand, whatever, of microphone over here in the box, too. I'm like, what the heck, dude? So I started chuckling to myself, thinking about this and thinking like, wow, he's like just buying up all this stuff just so he can check it out. So I started thinking about Mike Fauché and all of the, you know, all the little things that he does in his podcast, how it sends people running. And I came up with a term. And that term is now in the Urban Dictionary. I typed it up. I submitted it about 2 days ago, and it was approved. And let's see, where is the link? There is the link. Copy you and put that. Can you put that in live chat? Yeah, did we get it there yet?
Yep.
Oh, you got it. Oh, you've already got it. Great, great. So the term is, if you go to the Urban Dictionary, and check this out, guys, in the live stream, the term is the full Fauché. And so
this is great.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, if you do what I was saying. You listen to one of Mike Poche's BYOB podcasts with those guys talking about this hardware and the latest and the greatest video card, the latest SSD, you know, the OCZ Vertex 3 MI, you know, the fastest SSD out there just about right now. You know, and he's talking about the two. You can't just buy the 60 gig. You got to buy the 240 gig, which just jacks the price way up there. You know, I don't know.
And you just don't buy one of them. Yeah.
So I'm kind of exaggerating. I'm exaggerating actually quite a bit. But I mean, sometimes it feels like, you know, the BYOB podcast. I'm telling you, Newegg should sponsor them because they drive so much business their way. It's so funny.
Yeah.
So. As you and I were talking about it, I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago on a podcast, I think 2 weeks ago on Rich's Random Podcast Generator. And we were, we had a chuckle about it then. And one of you guys said, you should put that in the Urban Dictionary, I think. I think Mike, I don't know if it was Mike Howard or who came up with that. But so I looked it over and I thought about it for a sec. I says, gee, you know, I mean, we all know that it's funny, and we think the world of Mike, but geez, I can't tell him. I says, that'll just spoil the whole thing. If I tell him, I'm just going to do it. So I did it. I put it in there. He got wind of it, and he just got the biggest kick out of it. So it's all good.
Yeah.
It is a new word in the world.
The full Fauché. It's in the Urban Dictionary. Spending a good chunk of change on the purchase of a premium product or products when something lesser would serve just as well. that's definition one. That's a good one. This one fits Mike to a T. Purchasing a few similar premium products such as three or four mics or SSDs in order to check them out to satisfy a curiosity about the minor differences. Well written, Rich.
Thank you.
Nice job.
You should read Bob and Joe. The example.
So
there's always an example.
Yeah. So So here's the example. So Bob says, "Whoa, is that a new computer? You built that? That thing's a beast." So maybe we're talking to Christian here because he's got this beast. So Joe says, "Yeah, dude, I really went the full Fauché on this one. I bought an i7 2600K CPU, 32 gig of what's Cas 7 RAM? Okay, EVGA." Blah 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 blah. We'll get through all that stuff, right? Lots of technical terms.
particular.
And he would add all the details, right?
Mike Fauché has said those words before.
All of them. I stuck all that in a gigabyte. Blah 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 blah. Then stuck it in a Lee and Lee case. Have a Lee and Lee PCX 2000F. Yeah, he does. You're right. He does always get the model numbers right when he's saying it. And so Bob says, "Hi, see you spared no expense. Hey, what's that over there? Is that another computer?" And so a guy like Mike Fauché or Joe would say, "Oh, that's just the AMD equivalent to this one. I'm not really sure what I'll use it for, if anything. I only built it so I could A/B test the current top of the line AMD against the top of the line Intel." That is a true full Fauché right there. Not sure what I'm going to use it yet, but I bought it. Right. Man, I so love hanging out with you. Only problem is now I have to figure out how to explain to my wife all the new parts you've inspired me to buy. She's going to flip. That is the full Fauché.
And, and what's the next line?
Oh, yeah, I got to scroll down. Hold on. I didn't see the next line.
Yeah, this is the last line. So Fauché would say back.
Whoa. Buy her an iPad at the same time and she won't even notice.
There you go. So, there you go, Mike Fauché.
Yeah.
This is for you, buddy.
So he's forever now in the Urban Dictionary. I mean, Rich, it's funny because months back, way back in the fall, we tried to get the term clock blocking put into the Urban Dictionary. So we came up with this term, Kerry Adams and I from the Spartan Radio. Came up with a certain clock blocking, and that's anytime you're out in a race or you're running and somebody jumps in front of you and then stops. That happens all the time when you're out racing. Somebody gets in your way, or a dog gets in your way, or a train or a car, whatever, just blocks you from where you're trying to go. And they denied it. And so when you came to me and said, "I'm going to put the full Fauché in the Urban Dictionary," I honestly thought, "Nah, it'll never make it. They won't take the full Fauché." But they did.
Surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't spell his name like it, you know, Mike's name is F-A-U-C-H-E-R. And unless you know the French pronunciation, which is Fauché. You wouldn't you wouldn't get it. So I spelled it phonetically, F-O-S-H-A-Y, so you couldn't possibly not say it right. But,
or you could have used F-E-U-X, right, for faux.
Yeah, like faux, like false, yeah.
Yeah, but that's not good. I love this. I love this. And, you know, what's amazing about it is it has really started slipping into the our conversations now on the podcast. We've really
We're going to make a segment out of it on Rich's Random Podcast Generator. I don't know if we'll be able to – if I don't know if we, between all of us, if we have enough funds to have a new – Full Fauché segment every week.
I can't.
We're going to try.
Yeah, the Full Fauché.
Yeah.
It'd be tough for me, but it's great. And it's just funny how now I think when we were talking about this last Saturday on the show, I think some guys maybe in chat or even that were with us said, oh, yeah, I used that. I was in a meeting the other day and I said, because it's so easy to pick this term up, which is just crazy. It's like, oh, that's so you're going to do the Full Fauché? Right?
Yeah,
that just rolls off.
Yeah, that's actually definition number four. When I heard you guys say that, I said, well, we got to add the fourth definition, which is anything done to the max.
Right. Oh, right. You're going to do the Full Fauché then. I mean, of course.
Yeah, you Full Fauché.
You're going to buy three cars so that you can test them out. You know, you're going to drive the Lamborghini on, you know, Monday and Tuesday. You know, you get the point. So, nice work, Rich. Congratulations on your
first. Thank you very much.
I assume that's your first Urban Dictionary.
It is. It is.
Nice.
Successful.
Nice work.
Yeah. Thank you.
Stuff.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. What else can we talk about tonight? Anything? You want to add any more to that, Rich, the Full Fauché? You want to add a Full Fauché to the Full Fauché?
Yeah, I bought an i7 2600K processor. Seriously.
So you did buy one.
On the Full Fauché.
I went to the Full Fauché on the processor.
Yeah.
And I bought it. I replaced it. I had a Q9550 Intel dual core 2 Duo, and I'm going to use that for my VM server. So I needed a new machine, and I'm looking at the specs, and I'm looking at the benchmarks, and I says, wow, this essentially doubles the processing power. And at the same time, I'm running two monitors right now, right off the board. I'm not even using my video card anymore, so I more than halved my power consumption. I'm drawing about 45 watts right now as we're sitting here.
Doubled it.
Yeah.
As you look and, down to see what you're.
We're drawing about 45 watts. And if this was my old Q9550 with that video card in there, it'd be about 105, 110.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Well, Corden.
Christian's crawling under his desk.
Get a flashlight. You know what I got to do is I got to get that thing on an extension cord and just sit it right up here.
Yeah.
Velcro it.
Yeah.
I'm using a magnificent 200 watts right now.
Nice. 200? Dude, how do you do 200 watts out of a computer?
Well, it's the beast. What do you expect?
Yeah, you're right. That's the Full Fauché right there.
Our servers are pretty low power, but man, this thing just, this is like.
And you sleep that thing at night, right?
Oh, yeah. If I left this thing running, our electric bill would probably be like $1,000 a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I should probably. I think I'd done this once before, but I have a Core i3 that I'm running all this stuff on. And I think I was running maybe 43 on that at one point in time. About 43 watts coming out of that. Pretty nice, you know, pretty nice economical. And I just leave it on. I don't even turn it off. I just leave it on all the time. Don't sleep it. Just leave it running.
Yeah. It's nice. New technology, new faster.
Must be nice to get electricity for free.
Well, I wouldn't call it for free. It's not, you know, we're not, this is not like John's.
Yeah,
you're not
in Canada.
It's not Canadian power, but here in the Midwest, we do have very well-run electrical and gas companies our power company is a collective or no, co-op. No, that's not the right word. Anyways, they do a really nice job of delivering, you know, power to us at a very affordable cost. So I should be more, with all the PCs we have in the house, I should be more worried about it, but there's other things to worry about.
Yeah.
You know, besides that. So Rich, you'd put a note in there about if you go to a Chrome browser and you type in about,
right.
And I just did that. You get some fairly interesting results. I've never seen this before.
Yeah. I'm not going to really go over what they all are, but you can get to some of the settings in there, and then you can get to some of the things that you normally wouldn't be able to. Let's see. Well, I guess I'm not. I guess I'll take a look here. You could get to things like histograms, history, IPC, memory, net internals, HTTP cache.
And these sessions. Are local. These are local things, right?
These are all things internal to the Chrome browser.
Locally, though, on your PC, right?
Yeah, on your PC.
So if I go to history, report, yeah, okay. So if I go to Chrome, whack history, as it is here, this is going to be my own history.
Yeah, it's just another way of going to history, which you can get to by hitting the wrench, I think, and then clicking history up in the right-hand corner. But it's just interesting. It's like about :config, sort of equivalent to Firefox. Firefox has an about :config, and you type that in, and then you get to all kinds of crazy settings in there.
Wow.
So, yeah. And, of course, the other way you can do it is type in Chrome :// about. So that's the alternative. So it's just interesting, a little thing I came across as I was looking for something else about Chrome, which is I've been wanting to change over to the Chrome browser for a while, but I have not been able to bring myself to do it because I am hooked on those little two-letter keywords that I've hooked myself up with in Firefox. You create a shortcut, you go in and edit the shortcut, and you find the field that says keyword, and you type in NE, and then you close it, and you type in NE, and you go to Newegg, or HSS for Home Service Show, or TAG, the average guy, right? So I love those shortcuts. And I couldn't figure out a way to get them into Chrome. I couldn't find a way. So tonight I was just playing around, and I says, well, let me just import all my Firefox bookmarks anyway and just see what happens. And for some reason, it started working. So I says, what the heck? So I started looking. I looked at the I wanted to edit the shortcuts that I just imported. And there was only two fields, just the name and the URL, no keyword fields. So I'm like, oh, geez. So I went, I did a search, and I finally found the site called makeuseof.com. And they actually had a little write-up, and they have a really long write-up because they want to do other things like maybe create keyboard shortcuts, like Control-Alt, N for Newegg or something, right? But that's not what I want. I want stuff that I can type into the browser. I want keyword shortcuts. So basically, you just type into the address bar, :// settings/search engines. And as soon as you do that, you'll see if you've got any bookmarks that are already keyworded, maybe you imported some from Firefox, then you'll see those. And you'll see that you can edit those keywords now, those little two-letter or three-letter abbreviations you put in there. If you don't have any, you'll see at the very bottom a field where you can add new things. So if you know what your, if you know what your URL is, and you give it a name, and then you type in a keyword, so you can just create your own on the fly, which That's is really cool. no more difficult than actually doing the same thing in Firefox. In fact, it might even be a little quicker.
What's that address again, Rich? Chrome, whack, settings? No.
Yep. /search engines.
Search engines.
Yep.
All right. Oh, wow.
The other way you can do it is just right-click the field in the, they call it the Omni bar, right, in Chrome. It's the address bar. Right-click the field, and you'll see edit search engines. You click that, that'll bring you to the same place. Okay. Yeah.
There's some cool stuff in here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I love it. So now
I didn't even know about.
Yeah, there's some real winners in that one, aren't there?
Oh yeah. Must auto add them at some stage. This is the one where you'd start typing a word and press the website and press tab to actually search it, isn't it? I think. It's like if I go LinkedIn.com, I can then press tab and search it on LinkedIn. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, cool. This is going to make it easy for me now to go. You know, the other thing is I got motivated today when I was listening to one of the Twit podcasts, and they were talking about Chrome, and they were talking about Flash and all the vulnerabilities in Flash. And you see Flash all the time updating itself. And it just finally, you know, you hear these things right from the beginning, but it just finally dawned on me that the significance is Flash is updated automatically every time Chrome is updated or when it needs to be by Chrome, you know, by Google. So it's updated all the time behind your back. So you never have to worry about it. You're always running the latest version, not like, you know, Internet Explorer or Firefox, you know, so you could be running a long time with one of those two other browsers and be vulnerable to, you know, some kind of, you know, some kind of scripting vulnerability or, you know, Flash vulnerability.
Yeah, I really like Chrome. I've grown accustomed to it. We can't use it at work. And getting back into IE can be a little painful for me just because you get used to certain things and I go, I wish I had Chrome.
Yeah, well, the other thing is the memory usage in Firefox. I mean, it is just out of control.
It is pretty bad.
It's like over 200 megabytes on like 1 to 2 tabs. Bad.
Yeah, you leave that, and if you leave Firefox open for a while,
yeah, if you leave it open, it just leaks keeps memory.
It's gonna eat up all your memory. Well, yeah, it eats it like a snack. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So I'm about ready to chuck them for a while until they get under control.
Even like I even downloaded the Firefox 8 beta, same issues, even though they said it was fixed in 7. My sister switched over to Chrome because she had, you know, 20, 30 tabs open. She'd put her computer to sleep. When she came back out asleep, Firefox was using like a gig of memory.
Yeah, it's not surprising.
Like, okay. Yeah. Like, oops. Yeah, so you're a convert then, huh, Rich? You're over on Chrome?
I am. Yeah, I am over on Chrome now. I've got my ad block, which is good. I like that. I don't care to see all kinds of ads popping in front of my text that I'm trying to read.
Right.
So yeah, I got the ad block plugin and I've got this.
Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the dark side.
Yeah. Thank you.
Your journey is complete.
Yeah.
Would you like a free drink with that?
Yes, please.
An alternative to that, you and I were talking about that earlier this week. An alternative to that, or one I've used in the past, is you can use to OpenDNS for that same shortcut methodology. Yeah, go ahead, no. Rich. Go ahead.
Negative.
Right. Yeah.
It was there, and it still is there. It looks like it's still there. So you go to fill it out. You know, you type in NE, and then you type in the URL newegg.com.
Yeah.
And you save it and wait a few minutes. Nope, it doesn't work. So I'm like, I'm searching all over the place. And finally, I ended up back on OpenDNS looking at the FAQs or something. And it says, we had deprecated that, basically.
Oh.
It wasn't working the way we wanted it to.
Oh,
so,
okay. Well, I'm glad you looked that up. Because I did try it and it wasn't working. And I didn't have a chance to go back and troubleshoot it. And I thought, well, maybe
I'm doing... Oh, so you tried it too. Yeah,
yeah.
They should take it
when
out.
When we were talking about it, yeah, I went to the section in OpenDNS. I'm glad you mentioned this and you corrected me on it. I went to OpenDNS and had been trying it and it wasn't working. I thought, okay, well maybe something changed and I didn't update something and I'll come back and get to it later. But that was a feature that we'd used at one point in time for the kids, you know, Y for Yahoo, YM for Yahoo Mail. And you could set it at the router level, which is
And that'd be universal for any browser, right? So that'd be super.
Any browser, PC behind the firewall, so to speak.
Right.
And, so that was real handy. And so I do, well, aside from that, I do appreciate OpenDNS's cautious filtering that's on there. And that piece does work real well for me and works real well for my family. And sometimes we use, on the kids' PCs, we use a product called K9 filter to block the ads. I do set some safety settings on it, but I use it primarily to block the ads. And that blocks it again on any browser, anything on that PC where that URL, that ad URL pops up. It is kind of a pain at times. Sometimes you have to, you know, for the first couple of weeks, you have to let things through that it automatically blocks. But then for the kids, once you settle it down, it works well. So that's another ad blocking pop-up type thing that you can throw on there. And K9's
around for a while?
It has been. Yeah. Blue Coat. Yeah. Made by Blue Coat, and they're a security firm, and it's absolutely free, and you just sign up for it, and I've used it on my wife. Actually, likes to have it on her computer. Just not that I'm worried about her, you know, surfing sites she should be surfing, but she loves the security of knowing, because it's gonna block some of those malicious sites as well. And so she likes the security of knowing. And if the kids get on her laptop, you know, she knows they're not gonna get into anything. So.
And it blocks out anything that could be considered objectionable material as well.
It does. And it's actually got some – K9's got some fairly decent filters in there. You can get kind of crazy. There's a lot of selections on it. But it's worked pretty well. It doesn't – one of the things I don't like about it, one of the reasons I don't use it, is that it can get a little bulky with these ads. And it puts the K9 symbol in there, and that can get kind of messy. And I'm like, I can do it. So, hey, Christian, just let me know he's got to go. So, Christian, thanks for coming out tonight. I appreciate it. And have a good weekend. And we'll catch you back here on, I think, let's see, Halloween's not next Thursday, is it?
No.
What are we? I think it's the 20th, 27th?
No, it's Sunday. That's Sunday. No,
it is the 31st. Monday. What's going on? Monday, oh, I was Monday. Thinking of Thanksgiving. Okay, we're good. Christian, sorry. Have a good one. We'll catch you back next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Take care, Christian.
Same. Man.
Yeah. So some other security tips, but Rich, that you really, as we talked, you really wanted to get that down to the browser level. I mean, you're a one browser guy, right? Once you're on a browser, that's what you use.
No, actually not.
Okay.
No, actually not. So I was kind of hoping that OpenDNS thing was going to work. That's okay. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sad to hear that it's not. That was a cool feature in OpenDNS, and one of those things that I said, and you know, I even went out, you're right. I went out and looked, and the functionality is still there. And actually when I was troubleshooting,
it looks like it, right?
Yeah. It looks like it should work.
And it takes fields, and you can actually enter your keywords and your URLs in, and it looks like it. There you go, and then you type in your little shortcut, and it doesn't go anywhere. Yeah. You know, you get a search engine result, like, you know, right. Any? Do you mean Northeastern?
Exactly. No. Yeah. No. Right on.
I mean Newegg. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Right on. Andrew, do you use any kind of DNS?
Helpers? I am. No, I went through the process when we discussed Namebench back with Gordon three or four months ago. I went down the path of testing out my DNS servers, and I switched to Google for a while, and I went to OpenDNS for a while. And I actually found that my ISP's DNS servers perform better than any of the Open or the Google DNSs. And I suspect that's probably geographic for us down here. But I ended up just switching back.
To your ISP?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I sometimes go back and forth, and I kind of land on OpenDNS most of the time. And Google is what, 4.4.4.4? Is that there? Or
8.8.8.8.
8.8, okay. Something crazy. Yeah. How the heck did they get 8.8.8.8?
I think they stole it from China.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just Google. But yeah, there's some interesting, that can almost kind of be a whole show, speeding up, you know, how do you speeding up your browser experience. OpenDNS has worked well for me. It's one of the ones I recommend. It is very light. It's not intrusive. You don't get it protects you from what it should protect you from, and it doesn't block stuff that you want to get to. So that's worked pretty well for me. So. Rich, you had mentioned that you tested fingerprint with Paul had brought that up on the podcast, on your podcast last weekend.
Right. Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is an app that you install on your PC, and if you've got an iPhone, what it does is it's instantaneous. Just about, you install the app, you open up your iPhone, you maybe take a photo or a text or whatever, and you say print. And you'll see some options, and the options will be printers connected to your PC that you just install that app on. So if you're on your LAN, you know, if you're home and you're on your LAN and you're wireless through your router, you'll see printers. And I mean, it's just that fast. You can print to your a regular printer. You can print to a PDF. So you can send a photo to a PDF, text to a PDF. And you can also send photo or text to OneNote. which is the last two things, the PDF and the OneNote, is something that Paul hadn't actually tried. So, yeah, I tried it, I verified it, and yeah, it works great. It's like $9.99.
Really?
Yeah, it's $9.99, but it's a 30-day trial. So, you know, if you want to just check it out, just take a look at it. What is it? Is it Fingerprint? No, it's Kolobos, right? Kolobos. Let me check that out.
Yeah. By the way, my iPhone is still not here. We're having trouble getting Sprint to deliver their iPhones. Imagine that. Not Sprint. Sprint and Best Buy. Yeah. So I've been waiting a week.
It's happening all over the world at the moment. I think they, all the telcos have overcommitted and under-delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately, my wife has been very patient in this. It's going to be her phone. And so she's been very patient she's had that BlackBerry for 3 years. So, so you threw that link out there in,
so it is Kolobos.com.
Okay. And did you try that, Rich?
Yeah, I tried it. It installs. As soon as it installs, it sees your printers. If you don't want to offer a printer to your iPhone, you just uncheck the printer. You go to your iPhone, bring up a photo, go to print it, and you'll say select a printer, and you'll look inside, and you'll see, oh, OneNote. You'll see On My PC is what they call it when you want to open it up in a PDF.
Sure.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I probably wouldn't use it, but I think it's cool.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody might. So
good little technology. Of course, printing off these devices has not been something that I think has been thought all the way through. And so there's a host of services cropping up to allow you to print off your iPad, iPhone, Android devices. This is one of them. Very cool.
Yeah.
Andrew, you'd put a note in here about a solar cell charger. I went out and took a peek at that. That's a funky looking thing. I before you talk about it, I mentioned at the top of the show, I've been having some trouble with my, you know, I have an external battery that I use to charge the phone that kind of seems to screw with my phone memory. You know, I charge up this battery and then plug it in and it doesn't, it seems to screw up with it. I can't prove it or not, but so I'm a little leery of that. You know, it takes a couple weeks for it to catch up. This, I assume, is much like, although they show the example of somebody, it looks like they're driving across a bridge and they've got this cell. You know, your car's already running. You know,
plug it in the cigarette lighter.
this is a cell or a solar charger. In your car.
Solar charged battery thing, yeah.
You're not going to draw that much more power where it's going to make your car that any less efficient, right?
True, but I thought it was a fairly nifty looking little gadget. I mean, I think if it was something that would charge in the office under fluorescent light as well, that'd be kind of neat. So people know what we're talking about. It's a device with a inbuilt solar panel and a battery in it, and then a USB connection on it, so you can charge your USB chargeable device from the sun. I guess if you're on a weekend camping or something like that, it could come in real handy.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I remember a couple of years ago I was at a conference and they were giving away solar based cell phone chargers, and they just sucked. Mm. They were really bad. They were horrible. The guy was like, well, in fact, when Dave and I were at CES 2 years ago, we stopped at a Chinese booth and they were selling these solar panels. And we were like, so how long does it take to start charge an average phone? And the guy was like, well, like 14 hours. And I was like,
what?
Huh? Do you kind of understand that the sun, you know, the sun's not up? So, anyways, it was. Hopefully, they've gotten a lot better.
So 8 hours of sunlight in the middle of summer and 14 hours to charge.
Yeah, that probably won't work. But do you think would you buy something like this?
I'm sort of the camp that if I've got a USB cable or an adapter, then I'll plug it into somebody else's car.
Yeah, yeah. There you
go. That's where you go to work to charge your rechargeable devices.
Yeah. Yeah. Rich, would you buy a solar panel solar panel charger for your phone?
It doesn't look that expensive, is it?
No, $40.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Maybe. Okay. You know.
You're.
But I mean, if I'm going camping, I'm sure that everybody's gonna. Well, you're going camping. Leave your phone at home.
Turn off your freaking phone.
Leave your phone at home. Leave your laptop at home. But I don't know. It's kind of a cool thing. You know, you can be out in the middle of nowhere and you need a charge. Plug in your solar power. You know, charger. Cool.
You know, it'd be great as if that solar charger is just right on the back of the phone, you know, and you could just flip your phone over and...
I bet that's coming sometime.
It's got to be.
You say it. Yeah.
It's got to be. That would be dynamite to just flip that over
It's in keyboards already, isn't it? I mean, you look at that new Logitech keyboard with the solar panels across the top of it, and they reckon that it'll get a full charge from the fluorescent lights in an office and never have to touch it.
Right. Now that's useful. I think that's for those kinds of devices, low power devices that, you know, I think about my little mouse, you know, I use a little wireless mouse for my, you know, little Bluetooth mouse, and I'm replacing those batteries about every 3 weeks. And if the top of that thing was just made out of, you know, made out of a solar, you know, some kind of solar technology and would, while it's sitting there under fluorescent lights, would recharge. God, that'd be dynamite, you know. And if I never
like your old T1 calculator.
Yeah. Oh, I've never had a T1 calculator.
Or a TIX is a Texas Instruments.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But that could be real practical. I mean, that could be a very practical solution in the office, not to have to keep putting batteries in that silly thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Speaking of silly little things, Andrew, you found a Windows machine to challenge a MacBook Air?
Yeah, I was looking at one of the apps that I like on the touchpad is called Stuff TV. They pulled together tech news out of the UK. And it's a Asus have just released or have just revealed is how they're terming it. Their new ZenBook, which at its thinnest point being the front end of the keyboard, is 3 millimeters in thickness, and at the back of the device it's 9 millimeters. So, you know, we've finally got a non-Apple device that's
Apple-esque.
Yeah, Apple-esque. It's got the form factor. It's got the look. It's
yeah.
Sexy little thing.
Yeah, yeah, ZenBook, right? 3 millimeters thick at its narrowest point. It almost looks like it could cut something.
Cut cheese.
I almost said that too, Rich. Must have been the way I said cut. I led you to believe you needed to say cut.
It's unbelievable, though. Look how thin that thing is.
It is really thin. Yeah, drop that. That. Oh, good.
That looks phenomenal, doesn't it?
It looks pretty darn cool, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So available with a Core i5 or i7 processors, up to 256 gig of SSD storage.
Yeah, and Bang & Olufsen speakers.
Yeah. 11-inch. What did you say the sizes were? That's an 11 and a 13-inch?
11 and 13,
yeah. And
13-inch will be 1600 by 900 resolution display, which is dynamite for something that size.
Did you get any pricing on this thing yet?
No, I haven't seen pricing yet. They didn't have it. I haven't even had a look at Newegg or Tiger Direct or anyone like that yet.
Yeah.
I guess those guys will probably have it once it's released.
If you want to see a teardown of this thing, go to let me put it down here. Drop it down here.
That's that might be a thin, light laptop that a guy like Mike Howard might even buy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
here we go.
Check this out.
So on Newegg, the Core i5 1.7 13-inch with 4 gig of RAM and a 256 gig SSD is $1,350.
Ooh, okay.
So they're not cheap.
Yeah.
And the 11-inch with a Core i5 is $1,000, which is probably on par with a MacBook Air.
Okay. And you know what? They're going to probably stay that way and see if they can get the money.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't you?
You know. Yeah, but it is very Apple-esque in its look, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and if it's got those little if it's got the island keyboard with the raised keys, you know, it's getting a lot closer.
Yeah, are those lighted keys?
Don't know.
You know, Andrew, you know, I'll be honest. I've been a little disappointed with the HP DM1Z, you know, that we've been talking about. No lighted keyboard on that thing. And I didn't really even notice that until we were, I was in Kansas City last weekend. I'd woke up early to, we needed to get out there for a race or something. And I got up early. It was dark in the room. I opened the keyboard. I couldn't see a darn thing. I was like, oh, how am I going to do this? I had to go in the bathroom.
Don't you touch type?
Turn that. I could, but I'm not that great. So I do like the lighted keyboard on that. Rich, on this teardown, this uses an SSD stick for the hard drive. It's not, you know, when we think of SSD drives, right, we think of a traditional 2.5-inch drive. This is an SSD stick.
So it's similar to what they're building onto the motherboards.
Did I get that right? Asus uses a familiar stick form factor for its SSD. The 128 gig UX2131 models. Hey, buy this thing, Boshe. Comes with
it. Will. Don't put the challenge out there.
I've been Foshayed. Did you see that in chat a little bit earlier? Been Foshayed. So looking pretty cool.
Yeah.
Basically, it's an SSD without a case, right?
Yeah.
Stick.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and I think that's what Gigabyte are building onto their new series of motherboards, the ones that have the 20 gig cache built in.
Can hear my wife laughing.
What's she laughing?
She's cackling over there again. So what they love to do is when I'm on the podcast, they go in the next room and she's watching Ellen or something, and her and my daughter, they just laugh and laugh. And there's no school tomorrow here in Nebraska, or at least in our district. And so they're going to stay up late. So here, I don't know, it's quarter till. I guess it's not that late. But they're gonna cackle for the next hour. So so if you hear her laughing in the background, that's them having a good time.
Yeah, so with this Asus book, dollar for dollar, it's about the same price as the MacBook Air, a couple $100 cheaper for the 13 and a couple $100 cheaper on the 11 inch as well.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely a sexy factor associated.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure I'm going to pay that premium, even not for an Apple, not for a PC, you know, for that kind of. I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd pay that premium.
No, Christian's an Asus fan, though. He'll get one.
He is. Yeah, he really is. I don't know. I Andrew, I like that form factor. I like that little form factor that I've got, even though it doesn't have a lighted keyboard. You know, it's a nice little, those keys, you know, those keys are easy to punch. And I don't know. I have to try it. Rich, was that something you'd, you move towards kind of a real thin, light laptop?
Oh, I'd love to have it, but it's not high on my priority.
Yeah.
Desire versus reality.
Looks beautiful.
Really. Yeah. Does look good. Congratulations, Asus, on trying to go toe-to-toe with Mac on that one. That's really the first good – I'm sure there's been others, so don't send me your emails. But that's a really good run at it, at kind of a clone, right?
Mm.
We talked a little bit earlier about Skype. No, we didn't talk a little bit earlier about Skype. It seems like we're always talking about Skype. Skype has been fully and completely acquired by Microsoft now, and we're hoping that, you know, we've been – I'll admit, I think we've been talking like we thought Microsoft owned them up until this point, right?
We have. We've been blaming every little Skype issue on Microsoft.
Yeah.
When, in fact, they haven't been under Microsoft control until what? Just a day or two ago,
Thursday,
maybe?
Last Thursday or Friday or something
So 17 or something, wasn't it? Yeah.
So shame on us.
It is. That's not true.
I'm sure Microsoft deserves it some way.
Maybe they've just been easing us into it gently for how it's going to be once it's under full Microsoft control.
Well, you know, you wonder how that transaction went down, right? So the guys at Skype, obviously, you know, one day they found out, we got bought and everybody made a crap load of money. It seemed like from that point on, the changes came literally, right? The changes came every week.
It was like bang, 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 release, release, release. Yeah.
And so it's been, I wonder how much influence, and I would think by SEC rules that they couldn't do, you know, there's a lot of things they couldn't do. When I worked for the bank and we were acquiring other banks, you know, there were things you just couldn't do even though it was pending. And I wonder, in this sense, could Microsoft have an influence on Skype during that time? And I wouldn't think very much. I think we'd probably blame them incorrectly.
Hard to know. They might also be getting ready to, you know, get a code merge happening with another Microsoft product as part of the acquisition.
Yeah.
I think the only thing they were really waiting for was the European government to approve the deal.
Right. Well, boy, we've been messing with Google Hangouts now for a while, and those are getting better. I mean, I think, and this is something else we don't know, but sure feels like Google is iterating on that technology maybe daily behind the scenes. That just continues to get better. And with the improvements rolled out in the extras, I think is what they're calling them, the Google Hangout extras, where you can do some whiteboarding, which I don't find helpful. But you can do some whiteboarding. Screen sharing is what's dynamite on that. I was hanging out with Mike Howard last night, and he was showing me some things on how to configure a WordPress blog site to be able to do some additional, you know, stats. And he's like, "Hey, let me just share the screen with you." And man, we were cranking this thing out, and it was very, very handy. And screen sharing that just works. It does work in Skype, but it was always a weird. I always felt like it was a weird experience, you know, it'd go full screen and it never was really great on Hangouts that works well. Rich, I think that's with your podcast. I think that's something we should encourage and start using in the Google Hangouts and make that work. That screen sharing can be powerful.
Yeah, I think so. It's a good idea. Really.
Yeah.
Did Paul do some screen? Yeah, he was, you know, he was really methodical with us.
Something I thought about Paul, and he came in there and he was like, bang, 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 right on top of things. And then, yeah, think about this. This guy has been all over the country. He does trainings.
Yeah.
You know, he's the guy that stands up in front and does, you know, I don't know what he does, but PowerPoint presentations. And he just, you know, lays out things one after the other. And he's answering questions on the fly. You know, he was good.
He was very methodical. Guest. That was, he was indeed. And Paul, hopefully you'll join us other weekends on the Rich's Random Podcast Generator. But it was fun to give that thing a try. So if you haven't tried it yet, and I think most folks who are listening it have a great idea what we're talking about. But I'd love to see Skype and Google Plus Hangouts go head to head. I think there could be nothing better for video communication. You know, we were talking to Christian a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if this was on the show or afterwards or whatever, but I asked him how much he uses it. And he goes, "Oh, I use it an hour a day. For video." And I think they're still on Skype because he had just gotten a Google Plus account this week. Or last week. Yeah. And there's a whole story behind that. But so here's a guy. I mean, so when we talk about, Rich, the change in communication or the disruption that this technology has caused, Christian's not going to know a day when he can't video conference with somebody instantly and collaborate. Video, you know, you and I do this a lot, Andrew. You and I do this a lot. This is the way we do the podcasts.
It's the way we talk.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's text, it's video, it's audio, and it's such a long way from, you know, the years gone by where you had to connect two or three ISDN lines to a box and then plug that box into your camera and your microphones and your speakers before you could even get that call happening.
Yeah. Well, and I'm to the point now where with you guys, when we're chatting individually, I will say, well, I am. And I'll just say, let's chat because it's just so much more effective.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, I'll let you know if you want to reach the show, you can send us an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. And of course, we post these out to theaverageguy.tv each and every week, all kinds of RSS feeds, iTunes links, go out and get those things downloaded. Listen to them each and every week, and you can get them automatically. Also, if you want to communicate with us, you can send us or you can search for us on Facebook just by looking for the Average Guy Podcast Network. You know what? You can hear my voice going out. I've been talking all day, and I'm super tired. Mike Howard kept me up till about 12:30 or 1 o'clock last night. Mike, I do appreciate your help as we did the work on my WordPress stuff. And we will close it down for Thursday. Rich, are we going to do a Rich's Random Podcast on Saturday? Is that a 3
on
o'clock?
Saturday, yep.
You okay with that? 3 p.m.?
Yep. 3 Central, 4 yep. Eastern.
Okay. 1 yeah. Pacific. So if you'd like, if you're listening live, or we do get this out before, I doubt we'll get it out before Saturday, but we just might. And if we don't, you can join us. Look for me on Google Plus. And we send messages out each week. That Rich's Random Podcast Generation is kind of an open podcast. We're looking for new folks to come in and join us. And we just talk tech. It's very similar to this in a lot of ways, except we do it on Google Plus, and it's kind of more open than for new folks to come in and try out podcasting. Of course, Rich always does a great job of asking the questions. So yeah. We'll wrap it up for
Thank
tonight.
You, Jim.
Yeah, you bet, Rich. You're a great question asker. Maybe that's a new Urban Dictionary word, question asker. Rich, thanks for coming in. Andrew, thanks for being with us. And we'll do it all again next week on This Week in the Full Fauché. Have a good night.
Fauchéd. On the let's go to fauchéd.
Would you say I fauchéd or I fauchéd?
I want to go back fauchéd. In and edit the thing and say not to be confused with the dive, the full fauchéd with a half twist and then a half fauchéd into the pool feet first.
Oh crap! I just fauchéd. Yeah, that sentence sounds good.
I got in trouble for doing the full fauchéd.
The half fauché, yeah, full fauché with a double twist. And
dude, keep your clothes on.
Sorry.
Are we still on?
Yeah, we are.
Are we dark?
Do we need to be dark?
No, we don't need to be. I can just
depends if we're taking it down the dark side or not.